got a Highway 14 East construction update from project manager Brad Schultz. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation and their contractors will begin permanent concrete paving operations today at the Bowman Drive intersection. Mainline paving of the eastbound lanes will continue east to the County O intersection with the anticipation of completing mainline paving operations by Saturday. All newly installed concrete will need 3 to 4 days of cure time for the new concrete pavement to achieve its desired strength. All intersections and driveways will be opened as soon as the new concrete meets its strength specifications and is ready for traffic. Business access will remain open to all businesses within the work zone, with either a shared driveway with neighboring businesses or a partial driveway constructed in halves. Everyone working on the project appreciates your cooperation and understanding during these inconvenient times, as it will lead to a long-lasting project everyone in the community can be proud of. United States Senator Tammy Baldwin was in Richland Center yesterday for a tour of the Richland Hospital, after which she met with several members of the staff and the hospital board for a roundtable discussion regarding rural health care. During the discussion, Baldwin expressed the next major reform in healthcare will likely be addressing the impact of middlemen in the pharmaceutical industry. Baldwin stated these companies state a price for a drug, but then no one pays that price. It's this discount and that rebate and on and on. Both the senator and multiple TRHC staff members expressed frustration not only with the costs associated with the current system, but also the unnecessary delays that seem to do nothing but waste the time of everyone involved when the focus should be on delivering the best outcomes for the people seeking medical care. Baldwin shared from her personal history, explaining how a childhood illness she had made it difficult to find health insurance because for years, insurance companies were allowed to deny coverage to those with what was then called a pre-existing condition. Citing that change as an example of major reform, Baldwin said, "They can't do that anymore." Baldwin expanded on that point, adding she was, quote, "proud to be the author of the amendment that made it possible for children to stay on their parents' insurance until age 26. Looking to the future and the need for significant reform in the healthcare system once again, Baldwin said it has to get done, but that doesn't mean they're going to make it easy. The Richland County Natural Resources Standing Committee is set to meet Monday, August 31st at 9:30 a.m. in the county boardroom. This upcoming session follows a period of intense public opposition and significant community interest regarding the proposed BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line project. Recent local meetings, including a county board session that had to be moved to a larger venue to accommodate the crowd, have underscored the deep concerns residents hold regarding environmental impacts, property loss, and transparency. Central to the committee's agenda is the ongoing debate over the high-voltage line. Members will consider a formal resolution opposing the 765 kilovolt transmission line and discuss the technical requirement of mapping these lines as a GIS layer. This action follows previous efforts by the county board to request additional information from developers as residents in the Driftless area continue to organize legal and community-led coalitions against the project. In addition to the transmission line discussions, the committee will handle several other essential county matters. The agenda includes reviewing multiple zoning petitions for rezoning and parcel splits across various county locations. The committee is also scheduled to discuss and potentially approve a short-term rental ordinance for a future public hearing, alongside updates to zoning rules concerning junk properties and the keeping of chickens. Departmental reports from the zoning administrator, county conservationist, UW Extension, and real property lister will also be presented. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has announced a landmark $17.1 billion multi-state settlement with Meta Platforms Incorporated, marking the largest state consumer protection settlement involving a single company since the big tobacco agreements of the 1990s. Wisconsin is set to receive between $219 million and $313 million. From this agreement, which resolves claims brought by 47 states, the District of Columbia, and multiple territories. These jurisdictions had alleged that Meta intentionally designed platforms like Instagram with addictive features, exposed young users to mental health risks, and misled the public regarding platform safety. As part of the settlement, Meta is required to implement significant safety measures on Instagram and Facebook. These include strict daily time limits for children, featuring mandatory pauses after 15 minutes of continuous use, and at the 60 and 90 minute marks to break up scrolling. The company must also establish nighttime blocks between midnight and 6 a.m. and limit access during school hours by eliminating push notifications on weekdays from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. during the school year. Furthermore, the agreement mandates robust age assurance measures, enhanced parental controls, and stricter content safeguards against bullying, eating disorders, and self-harm. Meta must also limit features linked to poor mental health, such as certain beauty filters and visible like counts. The implementation of these changes will be assessed by an independent auditor and a committee of settling states. This settlement follows a nearly five-year bipartisan investigation that began in 2021 when attorneys general nationwide scrutinized Meta's promotion of platforms to youth despite known harms. The investigation revealed that Meta internally documented mental health harms while failing to warn parents. This agreement effectively resolves those cases, along with claims related to Meta's sharing of non-public user information with third parties like Cambridge Analytica prior to the 2016 election. The settlement remains subject to final court approval. New research from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety reveals that speeding has become a deeply normalized behavior among modern motorists. Many drivers no longer view the posted speed limit as a definitive boundary, with a significant number considering it acceptable to travel at least 10 miles per hour over the limit. This shift in attitude is further evidenced by the fact that nearly half of drivers believe keeping up the flow of traffic is safer than strictly obeying the law, and 3 in 10 motorists feel that virtually no one actually drives at the speed limit anymore. However, these perceptions carry grave risks. Speeding was a contributing factor in approximately 30% of traffic fatalities in 2024, prompting safety experts to warn that crashes are unaffected by social norms and that higher speeds drastically reduce a driver's reaction time. The motivations behind speeding vary, but they often stem from a desire to navigate around slower vehicles, reach a destination more quickly, or avoid impeding the flow of traffic. Compounding the issue is a widespread belief that law enforcement typically does not intervene until a vehicle is traveling 10 to 12 miles per hour above the limit. While the threat of a citation remains the most effective incentive for slowing down, followed by the desire to avoid a crash or respond to hazardous weather, drivers are increasingly resistant to measures that remove their personal control. For instance, while automated speed cameras and increased police presence in high-risk areas receive broad support, fewer than half of drivers favor physical interventions like speed bumps in their neighborhoods, and most prefer simple warning alerts over technology that actively limits a vehicle's speed. To navigate roads where speeding is common, safety organizations recommend that drivers prioritize visibility, road conditions, and the space surrounding their vehicle rather than attempting to match the pace of the fastest traffic. When surrounded by speeding vehicles, the safest course of action is to stay in the right lane, maintain a steady and predictable speed, and increase following distances. Ultimately, road safety is not about conforming to the behaviors of others, but about ensuring every driver has the necessary time to identify problems and react effectively to avoid a collision. Monday morning, a routine drive through Liberty Township turned into a scene of devastation following a collision between a passenger vehicle and a farm tractor. At 11:09 a.m., emergency dispatchers notified the Grant County Sheriff's Office of a severe crash on County Highway E, situated near the intersection of Scenic Road. The incident involved an 89-year-old rural Livingston man, Melvin Michak, and 63-year-old Jeffrey Vesperman of Fenimore. According to initial reports from deputies at the scene, Michak was traveling eastbound in a 2022 Buick Envision when his vehicle struck the rear of Vesperman's tractor, which was also heading east. The force of the impact was so significant that Vesperman was thrown from the tractor. Following the collision, the tractor veered into the north ditch where Michak's SUV came to a rest while Michak's SUV came to a rest in the south ditch. The gravity of the situation prompted an immediate and massive multi-agency response, bringing together first responders from Lancaster EMS and Fire, Southwest Health EMS, Fenimore EMS, and the Stitzer Fire Department. Due to the critical nature of Vesperman's injuries, UW MedFlight was summoned directly to the crash site. Southwest Health EMS personnel worked to stabilize Vesperman before transporting him to the waiting helicopter. He was subsequently flown to UW Hospital in Madison. However, despite the efforts of medical staff, he later died from the injuries sustained in the crash. Michak was assessed by responders on site and was later taken to a hospital by a private party for further evaluation. The Aging ADRC Advisory Committee convened August 5th to discuss a range of community initiatives and program updates impacting Richland County. David Scribbins called the meeting to order, which included reports on significant local contributions and upcoming safety partnerships. A notable highlight from citizen comments included the Red Cross collecting 928 units of blood in the Southwest Chapter, with Richland Center leading the efforts for July. Additionally, a new collaboration between the Richland Center Fire Department and the Red Cross was announced to provide smoke detector education and incentives for blood donors. Discussions focused heavily on transportation and funding sustainability. Roxanne Klubertanz-Gerber provided updates on the ongoing contract negotiations with MTM, noting that the new agreement will address insurance requirements and shift to a payment model based on loaded miles. To ensure cost coverage under the new structure, contracted rates will be adjusted higher than previous INCLUSA rates. To further committee understanding, Roxanne also presented a detailed overview of ADRC funding sources, explaining how Medicaid reimbursement is secured through meticulous time reporting in the Peer Place program. Looking ahead, the committee is preparing for revisions to the three-year aging plan, specifically regarding nutrition program goals. Recent outreach efforts have seen ADRC personnel engaging with legislators and participating in community events like National Night Out. Program success was evident in the consistent attendance at the Rise and Dine program and the development of new initiatives such as the Harmony of Hope Choir. As the fiscal year progresses, all programs currently remain under budget, allowing for future considerations such as the purchase of a new nutrition vehicle and potential grant applications to address caregiver shortages. United States Senators Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin and Cory Booker from New Jersey are calling on the Federal Trade Commission to launch a rigorous investigation into Cisco's proposed $29.1 billion acquisition of Jetro Restaurant Depot. The lawmakers expressed deep concern that the merger could lead to unprecedented consolidation within the nation's food distribution network, ultimately stifling competition and inflating costs for both independent restaurants and everyday consumers. In a formal letter addressed to FTC Chairman Andrew Ferguson, the senators highlighted the precarious economic position of small dining establishments. They argued that a dominant monopoly in food distribution would grant Cisco the power to raise prices at will. Because most independent restaurants operate on thin profit margins of just 3 to 5%, any increase in supply costs would likely be passed on to diners, or in the worst cases, force closures and trigger local layoffs. A central point of contention is the threat to Restaurant Depot's unique cash and carry model. Unlike traditional distributors that require contracts and minimum orders, Jetro's model allows small businesses and farmers to compare prices without the burden of delivery fees. The senators warned that removing this alternative would eliminate a vital competitive check that currently helps maintain lower cost options for caterers and small-scale producers. This push for federal intervention mirrors the FTC's 2015 decision to block Sysco's attempted purchase of U.S. Foods. In that instance, the commission concluded that such a merger would significantly reduce competition and harm service levels for the public. With menu prices already up more than 34% since 2020, the senators maintain that further vertical integration in the food space is a risk the economy cannot afford. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services have launched the Wisconsin Injury and Violence Prevention Strategic Plan, the state's first comprehensive framework in over a decade. This five-year roadmap unifies public health agencies and community partners to systematically reduce violence and preventable injuries statewide. Developed through extensive stakeholder collaboration, the plan focuses on five critical priority areas: reducing child maltreatment, intimate partner assault, intentional firearm injuries, unintentional drug overdoses, and self-harm or suicide. By targeting these specific challenges, the state aims to address the root causes of trauma and fatalities affecting Wisconsin families. The initiative builds on encouraging safety trends, including a 19% decrease in homicides and a 25% drop in firearm-related homicides since 2022. Wisconsin has notably outperformed national trends in reducing overall firearm deaths, providing a strong foundation for the new strategic goals. To support these efforts, the Evers administration has invested $15 million in grants for local nonprofits, schools, and law enforcement, alongside the establishment of the statewide Office of Violence Prevention. Through these sustained investments and key community partnerships, Wisconsin is working to cultivate resilient communities where every resident can live safely. The Wisconsin State Journal reports the request is part of the department's 2027 budget proposal to get new tasers, for the Madison Police Department. This was submitted before last month's deadly shooting of Corey Ruiz. Officers unsuccessfully deployed older versions of the less-than-lethal devices in an attempt to subdue Ruiz. He was then shot and killed by Officer Keel Badinger Peterson. The request will be included in Madison's capital budget, which goes before the Common Council for debate next month. La Crosse County District Attorney Tim Grinke declines to file criminal charges against billionaire Elon Musk on allegations he illegally influenced Wisconsin's 2025 Supreme Court election. Complaints brought by voters in Milwaukee and Green Bay were referred by the Wisconsin Elections Commission to Grinke, who doesn't believe a jury would convict Musk. The complaints referenced social media posts promising million-dollar giveaways tied to a campaign event for conservative candidate Brad Schimmel. Grinke says an initial post was poorly worded and ambiguous, while a second apparently recognized the potential violation and corrected it. He also notes that no one received anything of value in exchange for voting. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office, led by Sheriff Roy Torgerson, handled a wide array of incidents during the week ending August 22nd. Ranging from traffic-related medical emergencies to disorderly conduct and arrest for firearms violations. The week began with a unique call when deputies assisted a resident on Morningstar Road in the town of Union, where a large herd of sheep was reported to be damaging crops. That same day, law enforcement investigated a trespassing report from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway in Genoa, where individuals were seen fishing from the tracks though they had departed before deputies arrived. Midweek activities were marked by a high-stakes traffic stop and a hit-and-run investigation involving a horse-drawn buggy. On August 18th, deputies and Viroqua police intercepted a motorist on U.S. Highway 14 after reports of erratic driving in Reedstown. The driver was found to be suffering from a medical event and was promptly transported for care. Later that day, authorities investigated a collision in the town of Greenwood between a brown vehicle and a buggy. While the buggy was properly equipped with safety lights and signs, it was struck after the horse became spooked. The driver of the vehicle fled the scene, and the investigation remains ongoing. The latter half of the week saw several arrests and responses to community disturbances. In Viola, deputies addressed a group of teenagers tampering with apartment doors on Go Macro Way, while in Reedstown, a male suspect reportedly disrupted a public meeting before fleeing. Criminal investigations were also launched in the town of Kickapoo following a reported burglary at a business on Riley Road. The week concluded with significant enforcement actions, including the arrest of a woman on Spring Coulee Road for operating a firearm while intoxicated, and a domestic incident on Monroe Street in Westby that resulted in a male suspect being taken into custody for battery and disorderly conduct. The Crawford County Fair will be held tomorrow through Sunday at the Crawford County Fairgrounds in Gays Mills. Tomorrow, the Midway opens at 3 o'clock and the challenge to the Champions Bull Ride begins at 7. Friday features live music by Buck Hallow at 3:30 and the Tri-State Truck and Tractor Pull at 6:30. Saturday's events include an antique tractor pull at 10, Monty Burger and Country Gold at 3:30, and the Demolition Derby will be held at 7 o'clock. On Sunday morning, there will be a car show at 10 o'clock, and the Class of 62 band performs at 1 o'clock. All weekend, there will be exhibitors, arts and crafts, photography, food, and more. More information and a full list of events can be found at the fair website, CrawfordCountyWisconsinFair.com. We have two new winners today in the Grace Calendar Raffle drawing. They are $50 winners today. Ticket number 1766, Tom Gethings of Richland Center. And also ticket number 2277, Megan Glassbrenner from Madison. Congratulations to both of you.